Thank you for standing by. All lines will be open and interactive for today's conference. Today's conference is being recorded. If anyone has any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I'll turn the meeting over to Ms. Stephanie Begut. You may begin.
Thanks, Lee. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the second session in 2011's RTC and Jazz Open Mic Series. Today's topic is the Jazz upgrade process from 2.0 to 3.0. First off, my name is Stephanie Begut, and I work for IBM Rational as a technical support engineer for Rational Team Concert and Jazz. Today, our speaker is Richie Satcher. Richie is a development manager for the Jazz Foundation repository team and Jazz Foundation TMC member. He has been on the Jazz project since its inception. His team has developed core frameworks, services, and APIs that provide the infrastructure and architecture that is the basis for Rational Calm products. This includes mechanisms for data storage and persistence, server administration and deployment, and data upgrades for new releases. We will be having a web conference today, and you can join by signing on to www.webdialogues.com/join, and the conference ID is 3133836. Again, that is webdialogues.com/join, conference ID 3133836. If you are unable to join in on the web conference, please listen in on the phone. Richie will be sharing his knowledge throughout the hour, but all lines are open, so please feel free to jump in and share your questions and ideas. And now I will introduce our speaker, Richie. Go ahead, Richie.
Hi, thank you, Stephanie. I'm Richie Schacker, Jazz Foundation server lead, and I'm going to talk to you today about RTC upgrade. So the agenda for today is a couple things. You know, we'll talk for briefly about the 3.0 deployment topology and what that looks like, and then we'll discuss the migration flow going from 2.x to 3.0. So on the deployment topology, what's changed since 2.x? The big change is that the Jazz Team server is a separate web application, and it's decoupled from the CCM application, CCM meaning Change and Configuration Management, and that is the application that forms the basis for the RTC product. It's the first stage towards the CLM architecture, where we will have multiple applications that can share a common set of services from a single JTS. Examples are, you know, a common set of users, license assignments, single storage place for dashboards, also shared settings for the email configuration, the LDAP integration and user synchronization, and license management. You'll see the value of this will show itself even more when the next release of the other CLM products, like Rational Quality Manager and Rational Requirements Composer, become available, because they'll all be able to converge on a shared JTS, and we'll talk about that a little more on some of the FAQs around that as the presentation progresses. But even with just RTC 3.0, you can benefit by having multiple CCM instances converge on a common JTS. So here's just a visual representation of what I'm talking about. In RTC 2.x, you had a single WAR file that connected to a single database. And the WAR file was typically installed at the /jazz context root. In RTC 3.x, those applications are deployed as separate WAR files. They can be on the same or on different application servers, depending on your scalability requirements. And each web app has its own database. For new installations, the default context routes for these two applications is CCM and JTS. And for any type of migrations, it should say upgrades. For the upgrades, we're going to preserve the context routes of /jazz and /JTS. Where JTS being new, but the RTC application, CCM application, would still be at the /jazz context root to be compatible with the URL that it had in 2.x. So along with this new deployment topology, it provides some flexibility. in terms of you know, how many hosts you want to use, whether you want to distribute the applications. And there's a new section in the Info Center that just talks a little bit about planning your deployment and some presents a few example deployment topologies, and has a discussion about considerations for your URIs for your application servers. Now, if you're upgrading from 2.x, your RTC installation already has a public URL, so that would need to remain stable. But for any new installations, you can consider, you know, the points that are discussed in this topic when planning your URLs. Another thing to keep in mind, again, as I mentioned, is that each web application has its own database. So what that means is that you'll need to plan to have one database for each CCM instance and one for each JTS instance. And database being the database that is the container for the set of tables and schemas. In DB2 and SQL Server, that's a separate database, but they can be hosted on the same database server. And in Oracle, it's very often done differently, where they have a single DB user, and the user is the database or the schema, the mechanism for partitioning by application. And in that case, you would need one DB user for each CCM instance and one for the JTS. But they can also be hosted on the same Oracle database. So one of the things to consider is, you know, well, if I'm upgrading multiple CCM instances or installing multiple CCM instances, should I go with a shared JTS or should I have separate JTS instances? And, you know, the first restriction is that when you're using a shared JTS, it requires that all the CCM instances are authenticated with the same realm, meaning using the same user IDs. Think, you know, LDAP domain. This would also be, they would also converge on the same set of LDAP groups for the JAS users and JAS admins and the others. So you want to, you know, consider if the user and group mappings are all the same or if it's okay for them to converge to the same set of groups. And do you want all the users visible to all the applications? Because that is one of the considerations. If you are converging on a shared JTS, then all the users are going to be visible to all instances of the CCM that are connected to the JTS. And the last one is plan ahead, because currently once a CCM instance is connected to a JAS team server, there's no mechanism for you to change that or move it later to a different JAS team server. So, any questions on the deployment topologies and considerations there? Okay.
Rich, I have a question.
Yes.
In a DB2 database installation, when we are talking about two different databases are required for JTS and CCM, are we talking about two different database UDB DB2 instances, or can it be in a single database with two different table spaces?
It would be two separate database instances. By instance, I mean, DB2 instance has a special meaning. Like, it's one DB server with individual databases. So, but they cannot connect. If you think about the DB connection spec, and it has you know, a host name and a port and a user ID and a password, that it needs to be a distinct database connection spec for each application.
Oh,
but they,
okay.
But they can be hosted on the same DB server.
Okay.
So the next part of the agenda is... Yes.
I have another question. They said it's one for JTS and one for... Does this include the warehouse piece?
Right. Very good question. So in RTC 3.0, which is available now, the data warehouse is still part of the CCM database. So we call that the data marked. And so that would not change. When the next release of CLM becomes available, which I don't have an exact date, but is, you know, sometime around you know, late first half, early second half of the year, when that becomes available, it will have the option for you to, in fact, the default upgrade path would be to have a separate data warehouse DB. And then that is the shared data warehouse DB that's used for common reporting across the three applications products, RTC, RRC, and RQM. So that will be later this year in the next CLM release. And in RTC 2.0, in RTC 3.0, the data warehouse data is still contained within the CCM database.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you.
Sure. So we'll talk a little, any more questions? So the next part, we'll just talk a little bit about the upgrade path and some of the considerations there and scenarios, and we can go through the flow and steps and talk about some enhancements and automations that we've added and some of the frequently asked questions. So going back to the deployment diagram that we looked at earlier, this is just a before and after picture. Of, you know, in RTC 2.x, you started with single app, single DB. At the end of the upgrade, you have two applications, two DBs. This is a visualization of how the data is partitioned. So in the CCM application has its database with work items, plans, source control, and builds data. And then the Jazz Team server contains the user and the license assignment data and other basic administration data. So what kinds of things should you think about before getting started for your upgrade? Well, the first thing is read the Info Center. So and the link is provided here. There, we had an FVT team that spent quite a lot of time going through the documentation to make sure that it was thorough and included, you know, some of the corner cases that people might run into. So it might look overwhelming, but it's just mainly to make sure that we have adequate coverage of all the possibilities. But I would encourage you to take a scan over that. And then there's also an extra tips article that came along after the documentation was frozen. And that's more from one of our Jumpstart members who did a lot of the migration testing. And he points out some additional things that might not be clear from the documentation. There's also an extra download on the tips article that automates some of the steps for the migration, for the upgrade. So, and of course, obvious consideration, and this is covered in the TIPS article as well, back up the database and all the configurations before you get started. When you do the installation of 3.0, you would be installing it to a separate directory tree than from where the 2.x is installed. So if in the worst-case scenario, right, you still have your 2.x installation, you can restore the database from your backup, and you can retry after you get beyond whatever issues are blocking you. But, of course, we hope that that's never going to happen. But just be sure to take a good backup. The other one is that because these are separate applications and the applications are communicating to each other via HTTP, it's even more important now that the public URL is configured properly in the application. And so we encourage you, you know, in most cases we expect that the public URL is already configured in RTC 2.x, but it wasn't enforced completely, and so it's possible that in some installations they might have been able to get by without having the public URL, but it's imperative that you go ahead and set that and configure it prior to doing the upgrade to 3.0. Most likely, if RTC is linked with the other CLM products like RQM and RRC, it would already have that public URL set. And the other one, we mentioned this a little bit in terms of the context routes, is that because of that the public URL stability and the need to keep it stable and to preserve any type of links and URL references that exist between applications. When you upgrade, it must be deployed at the same host and context root where it was previously for 2.x. And the installation manager will help you with that when you do the install. And the integrations and the links with the 2.x applications will continue to work after you migrate CCM. So, but you will need the latest iFixes for these other products. I think when the integrations were being tested, there were a few minor things that were found that have been since been fixed in the latest service releases for those. And you have some flexibility in terms of your deployment topology, and we'll talk about that a little further down. So it's just showing you what you'll see in the installation UI. It'll ask you if you're upgrading from Rational Theme Concert 2.x, and if so, it'll default the JTS and Jazz context roots for the applications. If you were doing something custom and you installed RTC at any other context root besides besides slash Jazz, then it is possible to do to configure that using a silent install, and that is documented in the Info Center. But for the majority of installations, we expect that they're using the default context root. So some of the scenarios in terms of how you can deploy, you may choose to put CCM and JTS on the same host. You may you can also put them on separate hosts. And you have the option when upgrading multiple CCM instances to converge or connect them all to a shared JTS. Again, going back to the limitations that I described earlier, that they all need to be based on the same authentication realm prior to the upgrade. And the JTS can be deployed on a separate application server profile or along with another application. So for a large-scale deployment, we would recommend that you deploy the JTS and the CCM on separate machines, separate app server instances. That way, each individual server will consume fewer threads and fewer resources, such as connections and sockets and memory. The one thing to note here, when you're upgrading multiple CCM instances, if you look in the bottom part of this diagram, the two instances are still on separate machines or separate hosts, separate application server instances. And the reason for that is because of the URL stability that we talked about earlier. They were previously at a canonical URL that had the fully qualified host name and the context root of slash Jazz. And because of the need to preserve that URL, it's not possible to take those multiple CCM instances and bring them all into a single app server. Although, as I mentioned, for scalability reasons, you probably wouldn't want to do that anyway. But it's just another limitation to be mindful of when you're doing your upgrade. So this is the flow, and I've got a description of some of these steps following as well, but it's just a visualization that walks through the steps for performing the upgrade. So the first one is plan ahead, read the documentation, verify your existing environment and configuration, making sure you have all the properties set, like the public URL. Make a backup of everything. Download and install RTC 3.0. Create a new database for the JTS. Update the configuration files and edit or validate the configuration files. And some of these steps are automated, right? So we have commands for doing that. Some administrators will prefer to do their own merge of the configuration files. Others are perfectly comfortable to use the tool, but we would encourage you to review. If you use the tool to update the configuration files, use the tool to review them afterwards, just to ensure they're correct. And then there's a series of commands that for updating the repository data, mainly for getting the users and licenses out of the application and into the JTS. And then once those steps are done, then you start the 3.0 JTS in the application, run through the JTS setup wizard, which will finalize the configuration for communication between the CCM app and JTS. And then lastly, visit the dashboard UI, which will trigger an automatic upgrade of the existing dashboards, and then perform any verification steps as needed when it's complete. Beyond that, the next steps would be integrate your next RTC instance or integrate your RTC 3.0 with existing RQM and RRC apps. Again, if you're already integrated with those integrations will just continue to work, and it shouldn't require any additional steps. So just going into detail a little more, planning, again, you know, deciding on the deployment topology that you want to be used for the new installation, and reviewing the important considerations and the TIPS article. Then you run through the installer and install the product applications according to the deployment plan. Just one common thing to watch out for: when you run through the installer, the license offerings will be installed with the JTS. Even though the license offerings are enabling the capabilities in RTC, the JTS is the license server, and so those license offerings would be installed into the JTS. And then you create the new database for the JTS. So then the next steps would be migrating the configuration and the data. And again, this one is an improvement from what we've had in previous releases, where if you had customizations to the configuration files, like the team server properties, or if you were running on Tomcat and you had customizations there to files like Tomcat users and the server.xml, and you had, for example, if you were using Tomcat and LDAP, and you had the LDAP configuration settings in the Tomcat server.xml and web.xml, when you upgraded, you had to do that merge manually. And now we have a command that will do that for you in an automated way, the migration update configuration files command. And that will pre-populate a JTS team server properties. Once you've done that, you'll need to manually verify and edit the JTS public URL and the database location in its team server properties. Then the next step would be doing the CCM in-place migration, and that's just to accommodate any data model changes to the components that are in CCM, like build and source control and work items. And a major improvement that we've made from 2.0 to 3.0 is that you only need to run the repo tools add tables command, and that's expected to run relatively fast compared to the time that migrations took in the past. So in previous releases of RTC, when upgrading from 1.0 to 2.0, for example, you had to export all the data from the 1.0 repository and then import it all into the 2.0 repository. And that could take a really long time if you had a very large repository of data. And with the RepoTools add tables, all the changes are additive, and it'll just create the new columns and tables as needed and populate them with default values. And then the next step is just moving the user and license assignment data from the CCM application into the JTS. And those are export and import commands, but they're fast. relatively compared to an entire repository. It's just exporting user and license assignment data from CCM and then importing it into JTS. And then there's a little bit of configuration data, that application data that comes out of JTS that goes back into CCM, and that's for the user synchronization, because CCM is still connected to the JTS and has some awareness of the users that are in the JTS. And then the next step is rebuilding the work item, Lucene, and RDF indices using commands from repo tools. So at this point, what would have happened is that you've taken your backups, you've installed the product, you've run through the data and configuration migration steps, and then now you're ready to start the server. And then the server started, and you use the setup wizard to just step through and verify that the configuration looks good, no errors, should see a lot of green check marks in there, and then finalize the setup with the CCM and its JTS. And then, as I mentioned before, then the last step would be migrating the dashboard. So the dashboards has changed their storage mechanism, and they use an online upgrade for that. So I think I already mentioned this in the steps, but this is just a recap of what are some of the enhancements that we've done to the upgrade process. And again, for CCM, the in-place migration provides a significant performance gain over a full export and import. So hopefully your administrators won't be giving up a full weekend to do their upgrade. In fact, we hope that it's more like half a day. The new repo tools command for updating the configuration files automates the process of copying and merging. So again, if you had customizations for your LDAP configuration in Tomcat or other custom properties in the Team Server properties, those will get preserved for you. And the last one, and I mentioned this earlier, when we went through the migration steps, I mentioned several different commands that you would run, and that's what's in the InfoCenter documentation. But there's also some automated scripts, a batch file and a shell script, that will aggregate several of these commands together that can be downloaded from the TIPS article that's on jazz.net. It works well on the same server topology. You may be able to customize it if you're using a distributed topology. And we'll continue to refresh that. Now, in the upcoming release, CLM release, that's going to have the upgrades for QM and RRC, we actually will be including the scripts with the shipped product. So you won't need to download an extra script when you upgrade for those products. But for RTC 3.0, it's made available as a download. So some of the common questions that we've heard that we've tried to answer here, do I need to upgrade all of my 2.x servers at the same time? No, not required. There is support for interoperability between the 2.x servers and the 3.x upgraded ones. And, the next question is, well, what if I want to converge them all to a shared JTS? Do I need to upgrade them all at the same time? No, you don't. So you can still upgrade at your own pace when converging to a shared JTS. The only caveat is, again, you just have to decide at the time that you upgrade a CCM instance, where do you want your JTS to be located? So if you decide, I want it to share the JTS with this other CCM instance, then you would just plan for that when you do the upgrade. Another common one that people ask about is the rich clients, the Eclipse client and the Visual Studio client. And the 2.x variants of those are not compatible with the 3.x servers. And the 3.x rich clients are not compatible with the 2.x servers. Moving forward, we are improving that. So for example, when you go from RTC 3.0 to 3.01, the rich client will remain fully compatible. But in 2.x, because of some of the structural changes that we needed to make, we were not able to preserve that compatibility story. One improvement that we did make on the compatibility is that if your clients are using the latest iFix release of 2.x, then if they try to connect to a 3.0 server, they'll get a friendly error message, and it explains to them that they need to upgrade and also gives them a URL where they can go and download the latest client. And that URL is configurable in the administrative UI, web UI. So if within your organization you don't want your clients downloading from jazz.net, but you would rather have a web page that you put up that has upgrade instructions of what you need to do to get your workstation upgraded within your organization, you can customize the message that the user will receive in the dialog that they get in their client. So another common question, can my data be migrated online? And the answer is no. The server needs to be taken offline during the data migration. You want to take backups of everything. But we have made progress in terms of minimizing the outage window, as I previously mentioned. So how long will it take? The answer to that is still that it depends. It really, you know, how many instances are you upgrading? What is the size of the deployment? What is the size of the repository? If you want to be conservative, you know, plan to allocate a full day, but you know, I would hope that it would take significantly less. And of course, you'll want to stage this in a test environment before actually doing the upgrade on a production system. And that will give you an opportunity to estimate the time that's going to be required. So we touched on this one, but again, we get this all the time. Will my integrations to the other 2.x products like RTC, RQM, and RRC continue to work after I upgrade to CCM? Yes, absolutely. All the links in the friend relationships are preserved, and the linking works as it did. And then when the other CCM CLM products are released, will I be able to migrate them also to use a shared JTS with my 3.0x CCM? And the answer to that is also yes, you will. And again, the one thing to note here is that the QM instances will still need to be deployed to distinct hosts because of the URL stability issue. So if you have Quality Manager 2.x installed now, it is installed using the JAS context root because that's all that was supported for Quality Manager. If that has a collision with the JAS context root that you're using for CCM, then those two applications can't be moved to a single server. So lastly, some other considerations. Once you've done your upgrade or if you've deployed new instances, some things to keep in mind. Because the data is stored in multiple databases when you do the backups, you want to keep the backups as close in time as possible. So if you need to restore, then you can restore them both. Ideally, you would want to back up the JTS after the CCM has been backed up, and the reason is there may be data in JTS that CCM is not aware of, but CCM can sync up with that. But the opposite would not necessarily be true. And you know, just a common reminder, I've seen customers make this mistake or get the wrong assumption. We recommend that for backups and restore, you use the database vendor tools so that they all provide commands for doing that efficiently. And I know at least for DB2, it has a fairly reliable mechanism for doing online backups. Import and export is not intended as a backup mechanism. Import and export would only be used if you were migrating from one DB vendor to another, and it's not going to perform nearly as well as using a database backup. And the last suggestion here is make backups of the JFS indices, and this is discussed in the Info Center. The JFS indices maintains our RDF and Lucene indexes for resources that are stored in the Jazz Team server and provides for, such as dashboards, and it provides for efficient query. It is an optimized cache, so it's derived from persistent content in the database. They can be rebuilt if necessary, but that can be a potentially lengthy operation. So if you have backups of those files, then it can reduce the recovery time if it's ever necessary to do a restore. So that's all the prepared content that I have for this talk. And with that, I'll open up the floor for questions.
Steve P., I remember you pinging me about a question you wanted to ask Richie. Did you want to go ahead now?
Sure. Thank you, Richie, first of all. I am from IBM, and then we are hosting a lot of the RDC and RQM server in our hosting environment.
Uh-huh.
And then recently I did the two RDC upgrade, like version 2.x to 3.0. First of all, I just want to, what I did it is for the DB2 part, like I make it like one DB2 instance with the two database for the one for JDS and one for CCM.
Uh-huh.
And then I imported like from the RTC 2002 iFix4 level, they are working fine. The only like part of that is somebody asked that question like earlier time. That's why I put it this comment. You know, you can create it with the one DB2 instance with the two database. And then another question to you is, if the customer want to change the alias, like how to say, the host name, you know. For example, we give the server name, like URL name is XYZ, something, and then the customer want to change it to ABC, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then used to be like RTC 2.x, like we can change it in the Westfield like environment alias, and then you can change it in the what is called the public URI and host name. But when I tried it on the RTC 3.0, it broke all the walk items, and then I got all the error.
Yeah, yeah, I understand.
Because of the CCM application registry, I think.
Yeah, that I understand. And that was one of the things that I mentioned earlier in the talk, was that the public, we do require stable public URLs. The reasons for that is that the applications communicate with each other via HTTP, and references to artifacts between references between artifacts in different repositories are persisted using their URL as the identifier for that resource. And it's very much modeled after the web for linked data. So even in the 2.x case, you might have had less impact if you were to change that in RTC, but it still had an impact. There were URLs in work item comments that would be broken, URLs in email notifications that would be broken, or any bookmarks, and any CLM links between other repositories, such as RTC to RTC links or Quality Manager or Requirements Composer links to RTC, would be broken if you change that public URL. The limitation is more pronounced in 3.0 because CCM communicates with the JTS. So all that said, we understand that this is a common question that our customers are asking, and for whatever reason, people make mistakes when they do their initial deployments, and then they want to change their deployment after and would like to be able to change the public URL. It's not currently supported, but we, it's we don't have our future plans in place yet, but it's high on the priority list to address that and provide some mechanism where you can migrate to a different URL.
Okay, thank you so much. And then what, like for the, what I did it on the last migration, I have a 27 gig of database. It took like 8 to 10 hours for the migration, like all the report tools, everything, just for your information.
Okay. And I assume a good part of that was just time spent doing backups and other phases, you know, of the migration, or was that time spent actually running through the export and import of the JTS data?
Just import and export only. Like from the RDC 2.x to 3, we need to do the, like I think, the one major repo to import to the JTS, and then you have to be exported from the JTS to import it to CCM, you know. All these like five tasks took around 8 hours. With like the database is 27 gig of database.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. That's a good data point to have. I'm a little surprised. I would actually expect some of the phases to be faster. Like the export JTS data should probably take about an hour on that, on a repository of that size, and the import JTS data should also take about an hour.
Okay, yeah. Because of my previous experience from the RDC 1 to 2, it took like really long, you know?
Right. Okay.
And anyway, thank you so much.
Yeah, so I'm glad that it was still an improvement for you. It's our intention that in future releases we will continue to improve the amount of time that's required for doing the upgrade, because we understand that in many environments outage windows need to be non-existent or as short as possible, and we're trying to get it to the place where the outage windows are going to be at a manageable level. That said, when the CLM follow-on release comes out, the CCM upgrade should be pretty fast. RM and QM will still require some time because there's more data migration involved for those products. We hope that in future releases beyond the second half of this year that those would also improve to something comparable to what we've achieved with CCM. But it's just a heads up for what's coming, that those will require full exports and imports. Any other questions?
I don't have any more. Thank you so much.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes. Who's speaking?
This is Sridhar here. I'm from Chrysler.
Okay.
Actually, in our environment, in 2.x, currently we don't have a public URI.
Okay.
So we plan to migrate to RTC 3.0. So do you suggest having a public URI first and then migrating?
Yes.
But in that case, will that impact any of the existing work items in the system?
Well, you should set it to whatever public URI whatever people were using to access the system already. Hopefully, your consumers have been accessing it already with a consistent canonical URL.
Okay.
If there are instances where they've been accessing the system from different virtual host names, then it's possible you could have some inconsistency in the links embedded in the work items. But if they've been accessing the repository with the same URL across the organization, then it's setting it in the configuration property. It's just burning in what's already there.
And will that have any impact on the links to the ClearQuest request? We have a connector installed. in our environment, which synchronizes work items to ClearQuest request.
Right. Okay.
So will that have any impact on that front?
Shouldn't. I don't think it will. Again, as long as the URL that you I assume you're using the ClearQuest gateway, which sits as a in between the runs as a server process and communicates to RTC and communicates to the ClearQuest.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm not an expert on the ClearQuest gateway, but I'm guessing that it's configured with a URL for the location of the RTC server. And as long as that is aligned with what you're configuring from the public URL, I think you'll be fine.
Okay, and one last question.
Yeah.
When you talked about, you did talk about the integration with other applications like RRC and RQC.
Yes, RQM. Mm-hmm.
Does that hold good for this ClearQuest connector also? Can we still be on connector 2.x and upgrade the Jazz Team server to 3.0?
So there's been some testing that's been going on with that. At this point, I can't make a definitive statement on that. So if at all possible, you should plan to upgrade the connector as well. But there's testing going on in the lab to see what kinds of things we can claim to support in particular, because understand if you want to, you might have multiple Team Concert instances that are sharing a single gateway, and we would like for you to be able to upgrade all the Team Concert instances at your own pace rather than requiring that they all be upgraded at the same time. And certainly for 3.0.1, from 3.0 to 3.0.1, that would be our intention with respect to the gateway. But more testing is required before we can make a statement on that.
The migration does include the migration import and export of the links to CQ requests.
Yes.
Thanks, Rich. That's all.
Okay. Yeah. If you have a hard requirement for interoperability with a 2.x version of the CQ gateway, then I would suggest you contact your IBM support representative, and they can work with the development team on that component to see if we can get you an official statement.
Okay.
Hi, this is Jeff from IBM.
Yeah.
Hi, Jeff. I wanted to find out what your recommendation was to actually have multiple groups of RTC installed on the same server. Right now we have we're using a quite powerful servers these days, and we could definitely add more memory, add more CPU, and actually support more RTC groups that way. What we've done so far and actually had rational support actually confirmed this also was we'd actually install WebSphere once on the server,
mm-hmm.
and actually use managed profiles to create the multiple groups. And then the way how the groups that actually go in is actually use it by port numbers
mm-hmm.
to differentiate them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And from a from an RTC installation perspective, instead of using the install command, we actually use something called user inst that actually came with install manager, which is actually a non-root installation method. So basically, we would be installing RTC multiple times for each group.
Right.
And that also allows us to actually secure things in such a way that we create one user ID for each group and make sure that this user ID doesn't have access to the directories of the other group. And that seems to be what we plan to do. And I was wondering if that is the way to go, and is there any plans of actually coming out with an official document to discuss how things are done? Because I've seen stuff where things are not that official. I guess if it's in as a tip, it's a tip. But unless it's actually in the what do you call that, the info document, it's actually not as official. I'm wondering what your comment.
Yeah,
for that
I understand. I'm also making a note of this so that we can do a follow up. So yes and yes. I mean, we do get questions like this, and there's not we can do better in providing official recommendations or at least outlining the considerations on that front. So what you describe will work. Just to echo back, you know, you have a large machine, very powerful machine, and you're installing one WAS server with separate profiles, and then you're using a different profile per CCM instance, and then configuring those to run on a different port. So you have a separate public URL for each instance where the port varies.
Right.
Yeah. So that works, and then you know that will scale up to the limits of your machine. You know, you're going to have a separate actual OS process running for each app server instance. In some ways, that's not a bad thing because then you know the one application is not consuming the memory of another application. They're not sharing, or one application can't necessarily bring down all the others unless they actually just cripple the server completely by consuming all the CPUs. The consideration would be if you want to move that later, you want to move those instances to different hosts, then if you want to move those instances to different hosts, you still need to preserve the URL. So if you were using a single host name but different port, and then you take those and you distribute them to different nodes, you would have to do something like setting up a reverse proxy where the reverse proxy could then route requests or spray the requests based on the context route to each of the other apps. The reverse proxy could be installed where on the single machine where you had it before, at the host name where the single machine was, and then that reverse proxy can take requests and forward them over to a different node where you've distributed the app instances to. So if these are new installations, something else that you could consider would be putting a reverse proxy up from the very beginning and hiding the port number. So, for example, installing a reverse proxy at myhost.ibm.com and having it run on the default port, and then configuring it with rules that when it takes an incoming request, say to go to CCM1, then it forwards it to profile 1, at whatever port that profile 1 is running on. And if the request goes to CCM2, then it would route that to profile 2 at whatever port profile 2 is running on. But the CCM instances for profile 1 and profile 2 would be configured using a public URL that is the URL of the reverse proxy. Which, that makes sense. It kind of hides some of the deployment decisions behind the reverse proxy and gives you a little more flexibility to move things around later without being bitten by the limitation of not being able to change the public URL. But it's that sort of thing where it is our intention to improve the documentation, and we should provide better recommendations and considerations.
Okay, I'll have to ping you more on that reverse proxy.
Okay,
if you don't mind.
Sure. And there's a little bit of documentation on it now in the 3.0 Info Center,
mm-hmm.
in the planning guide that I referenced earlier in the presentation. So that would be a good starting point. But then, if you have additional questions, yeah, we can follow up.
But what I did mention a while ago was that would that be your recommendation too? Is to have multiple profiles and use user inst to have multiple groups on the same machine?
Would it be my recommendation? So
yes.
It's a function of how powerful is the machine. If the machine has the CPU, the memory, the capability for multiple threads to accommodate it, then I wouldn't see any problems with doing that.
Okay. I guess my question is there anything that is a better way of implementing what we need to do?
In this case, it's a matter of choice. I mean, the only other way would be put them on separate nodes.
Yes, other than we don't want to have separate nodes. Let's say
right.
we all wanted them to be in one node because we don't want to administer multiple AIX servers from an operating system perspective.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, the only other way it would be virtualization, and I assume that there's going to be overhead by virtualization using a VM, and I assume that there would be additional overhead with
right.
that versus running it natively.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Sure.
Okay, thanks, everyone. If you have any additional feedback or questions regarding this session, feel free to post them on jazz.net. Before we conclude the session, I just want to say I just wanted to do a quick survey poll. Lee, can you do that now?
Thank you. There'll be one polling question. Please respond after the question has been read. Was this session useful? Please press *1 for yes, *2 for no, *3 for somewhat useful. Again, was this session useful? Please press *1 for yes, *2 for no, *3 for somewhat useful. Please respond now. And that does conclude the polling session.
Okay, and that concludes the session for today. I would like to thank Richie for joining us, as well as all of you for participating. Join us next week when we will discuss the new era of transparency, release plans, and dashboards with guest speaker Robin Garside. Thanks, everyone, and have a great day. Bye.